Good morning, and thank you for coming to be with us in the living room with Brother Freedom and some of us who have gathered. Father, we just thank you. We know that your eyes see everything, that you're looking down upon this room, and you see into our hearts. You see everything going on. You know our condition. You know it better than we know it. And Lord, we pray for our listener out there. You know their condition better than they know it. And Lord, thank you that you're the great physician. We pray that you'd do a work within us. Lord, that you'd make us ready to be with you, because we know without that holiness and purity, we cannot even get close to you. Oh, Father, touch us, I pray. And thank you for speaking through Brother Freedom. Thank you for anointing him. Thank you for touching his lips, Father, his whole being in a wonderful way. Thank you for your healing touch upon him and upon us who are here listening and those out there on the internet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Luke, the 14th chapter. Starting in verse 26, Jesus is speaking. If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever doth not bear his cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 26, says, Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27 say, That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 6 says, Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And he, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Then 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5, says, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful day. We come before you with praise and thanksgiving, Lord, and honor you because you are our God. You are above all others, and you're the one that we need. Lord, we put our hope in you and our trust in you and our faith in you today that you will move mightily upon Brother Freedom and upon each of us to minister to our hearts, Lord, and to change us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Your word is so true and so faithful, and we praise you for that, and we depend upon you. Help us to seek you first in everything that we do, and your kingdom and your righteousness, because we know that you will provide our every need according to your riches and glory. We give you praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Father, we do praise you for this glorious, wonderful day. Surely this is your day, and we rejoice in it. For your joy is our strength. And Father, we praise you. We love you. We've got to give you all honor and praise for all blessings. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from you. And I believe that every good thing that's made, man makes, comes from you. Every thought, every tittle, every dot, every part of it, it all comes from you. But man don't want to acknowledge that. They feel their great enablement to do those great and mighty things. But, Father, we know it's from you, and we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's a day when we see lots of different things around us. People talk about a lot of different things. Some of it really don't make it different what to talk about because it's such a sort of soft talk, you might call it. But we know that every word, every thought of a child of God should be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God. We thank you, Father, the Church of Jesus Christ, to rise, to stand up for righteousness, to walk in holiness, to walk in obedience of God's power, the witness of God's power that he puts within us. But when we look at the church world, it's very soft, they don't even have any power. You might say, why should the church have any power like that, because we don't need it in this day. Well, you do to overcome sin. But here's something the Lord just shared with me yesterday or the day before. A man is saved and he continues to sin. God can't see him. He sees him, but he don't see him as a child of God. The Bible says, sin not. And there's growing in this situation. After a while, you try to cease from doing the same thing wrong. What we as God's people have a tendency of doing is, well, if you don't go to some X places, there are X movies, all these things, you're not sinning. It's different than that. It's following the direction of God the Father. If you deliberately don't follow him, you can get out here and live what you call a righteous life. You're not doing what God wants you to do. Then the other way, you want to get out here and do all you do for self. We got to follow the Spirit of God. I'm going to preach it till I expand, get out of this world. God says he wants a peculiar people, a people without blemish. It was blemish when we start, but in time goes by, we forsake the things of darkness and put on the armor of light. It's not a a flash like that, but it happens gradually. This one scripture was given about the man he went out to before he go out. He takes thought what he's doing before he's able to build. The greatest building a child of God can do is building his life toward Jesus Christ. You know, the modernists, they just got to get people saved. That's all there is to it. Well, that's just the beginning. You should tell them what's required. It's in Matthew and Luke also. It's required of them to be overcomers. But the church world, you just say, if you just believe, I heard a lady the other day, oh, she's just thrilled out because this person received, but they never even thought about what some of the requirements. We don't teach your people. Churches don't teach that, but that's part of it. We're to teach the requirements, what it means to stay saved. By God's terms, not our terms. See, God's standards is above our standards, and the man of the world, people of the world, want to have a low standard, and they got a great esteem for themselves. We're to have a low esteem of ourselves and great power toward the one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, that knows all, is all, has all. The Bible says there, you can't even be saved unless Jesus says you hate your father and your mother. But it doesn't mean hate them, but it means put him first. We love the world so much that God says he don't see us. And in that, where prayers don't get answered, we get a lot of things don't happen. I'm going to read a little bit right here. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and all his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The next verse, and whatsoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Very plain, but I never heard in the church world. Until I was 25 years old, I never heard a sermon over any of any. It was just a sermon. Then a little church in Texas, I heard what the Holy Ghost said. He was altogether different. The whole theme was different. How we can please God. That's what it's all about. That you can please God. He gives us all the qualifications, all the specification. You need 2 foot high or 4 foot high, 6 foot high. Or he doesn't care. But he does care of what we believe. What we believe actually saves us. Thou must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all that is in thee. Bless his holy name. Guys come to jail. Let's get them saved. And I said, no, I wouldn't touch it till I, soon as I give enough teaching on it. Then I said, you know, Jesus. It's unfair. Because God gave me some dreams. This is on this one point. I had a dream in 1985, I think, something back in that time. And I was in prison ministry. The Lord says, be careful. You got to teach them. So the Lord gave me this dream, and I seen all these babies that passed on. And I was real sad. I said, Lord, that's terrible. That's abortion. No, Lord, it's not abortion. This is spiritual. They had a first, just accept Jesus Christ, and they lost food and they died. No spiritual food. You got to take on spiritual food. It's life. Without life, we're not going to make it. I'm going to plainly say we're not going to make it. We have to have the life of God within us. That life of God does the same thing in our spirit as food does in our body. We have to walk toward the one that loves us. The Bible tells here that hated. Nobody hates their father, their mother. But what it means, make sure you know Jesus. You love him even more. And that's a vast, why you love your child. Jesus is saying that's how much it is to it. And I'm not so sure if we're going to make it unless we have that difference in our heart. But God's worth it all. My heart wants to be stay right with God. He is the one that helps me do power. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 chapter, we just had it, be strong in the Lord and power might put you on the whole armor of God. Every time you pray for something, you're dealing with Satan. All the sickness comes from him. But a gift from God will supersede that and set you free. That headache relief, whatever you have. Satan brings all of the things that we put on normal. They're not normal. He is the prince of power there, the spirit that works on the children of disobedience. When we pray to God, God allows something just like Job. Job was tempted. He said, though God slay me, yet I'll still trust him. Though God slay me, I'll still trust him. That's what we have to have, that same endeavor. My first love goes to him only. He is my first love. It has to be. Because in his last days, the Bible tells me there's going to be many called and few are chosen. And these super big churches are granting, they're getting now that 10,000 people get saved at one time, don't even have to touch them. I really can't agree with that. They're going to zillions, and sure they will that way. And the people that take it like it because they don't have to go up in front, they don't do nothing. And knowing the time, now it's high time to wake out of sleep. God saved my church, should be awake. Now's the time to take heed to things you heard, lest any time you should let them slip. The Word of God is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. You know, my life is gone, really. I'm going to preach this to the last second. If God be for me, who can be against the greater sea that's in me? He is the ruler. And I don't have to let my heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For in my Father's house are many mansions. One of them's in store for me. And I'm going to rejoice with God forever and ever and ever. I stood alone all my life, and I'm still standing alone. And He says, be ye strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. It means that no flesh is seen. For it says in Revelation, lest my flesh be seen. That's the sin. Righteousness will cover that, but it has to come back to asking God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost to come back and heal you. Amend you. We all need mending. But that's when we grow in the Lord. In this world, we got a lot of feathers knocked off us. A lot of bruises. Spiritually, but God says, my child, keep going. Call me and I'll help you. I'll take another step. It's like this week, Thursday night, my leg quit. I said, what am I going to do? So I said, Lord, I'm not going to do nothing but sit down in this chair and just pray. And when I woke up, I could walk. Not good, but it's one day at a time. If I pray really good, I can get down there to where to eat. If I pray real good, I can get back. If I stop praying, I can't do nothing. It's parallel to where we live. We need to seek God every step we go. We don't exercise that gift enough. God sees us as lazy, unable. And God wants to be separated. The last day that He has a people, the Lord showed me yesterday and the day before, they don't even see some people. And they're supposed to be His children, but they're sinning. It's unconfessed sin. And their life is to be a light that shines. That's what God's called. He didn't call us to go out here and be missionaries till later on. He didn't call us to be pastors till later on. The first thing is let your light so shine that He sends us forth. Do you hear me? World out there, He sends you forth. They say, oh, go forth. Yeah, they put on their head, yep, we're going to send Him forth by this denomination. We're going to send Him forth by this denomination. That's the word they use, forth. Well, God so needs to send us forth. It's His anointing, His strength, His power. We have the ability to do nothing. My daughter calls me every night. She says, what you doing? I said, nothing. And that's what I'm doing. I'm nothing. I'm in neutral. And neutral is nothing. And that's why most Christians are. They're still hung in neutral. They can't get higher than the shoe stops. But we got to be bigger than that. We can be bigger than that because we got Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. And we got time to grow in Him, to multiply in Him, to exercise those wings of prayer, that exercise your thought reign, your love of God, praise Him, speaking His will. Oh, come on, if we would see Him only, His blessings, it's where we should be. But I speak to people out there that you don't even know what I'm talking about because you haven't spent time with God. But we grow what it's all about. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me to be my disciple. For which of you taketh intending to build a tower, sit down first and count the cost, whether we have sufficiency to finish it. Do we count the cost? See, the Bible says it's better never know the way and fall. Maybe I better say that a little bit. It's better not to know the way, after knowing the way, to fall. It says, lest happily, after they have foundation, is not able to. They laugh at them because the foundation, what you're building, is not going to be finished. That's what it talks about a war. Unless you force them to it, you don't want to fight that country because they're too big for you. Counting the costs. But the spiritual cost is what someone, you look for somebody else all the time. You look for this guy, what he has for God. No, she's looking for yourself. Now here, I know it's a group of people and you're going to grow with them, but your aim is sometime get out. But I know people, they got to go this person, they got to go this person, and listen all for this of God, I don't know. But what I'm really know God wants to seek Him first. Let your light so shine, we don't have to worry about competing with someone else. The church world is very competitive. It's just like a sport. It's got who can memorize these chapters and all these things, come to services more often. That's all competition. But God is a wonderful God. When He called me way back there, I didn't know nothing. I just had prayed a lot. The Lord says, I'll teach you right where you are. I told Him I'd go to Bible school. No, you won't go to Bible school. I'll teach you. The Bible says in John, it says, we have the anointing which is within you, by within you, need not that any man teach you. See, God wants to teach you. We as God people should pause at times when we don't know. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I lived with a lady, she's my wife, and she could say things pretty fast. But I was real slow to speak. But I think there's a lot to it with the Lord, especially with life itself. We need to wait upon God. You know, I went to a hydraulic diagnostic number 3, which is the top and caliper line. I told him there, I said, I could not do nothing without the Lord. And the instructor's face just, he turned white. I thought he was going to pass out. I didn't mean to cause him to pass out, but it did. But that week, the Lord allowed me to pray a lot. He got a room. I got the Hilton the suite. But I got about 20 rooms in it. They said I could do anything I wanted. So I prayed. I believe that angels came down that night. I really do. I had fellowship. I had no fellowship with nobody else but me and the Lord. And I believe that angels came that night. Because the next morning, there was no way out of that place. No way. I didn't know it until the next morning. So when I went to class, would you know all these men run to me? Because God did. They said, what are we going to do? I said, God will provide. They said, we knew that's what you'd say. I said, God will provide. And sure enough, when God works in mysterious ways, His wonders true before Him. I seen a man coming right to me, and I said, that man's coming to me to give his car back. He did. He said, Caterpillar. He said, I feel that you need to give your car back. And I said, we'll take it right now. Boy, this one fellow there was in Kansas. Let's take the car. We'll all split up for the money to pay for it. We'll get going on it. We are in class in a half hour. Within about 15 minutes, all taken care of. But God works on your behalf when you're getting serious problems. Like the other day, I had a serious problem up my leg. I mean, it was deep pain. I mean, it just come that way. But Dr. Jesus came there to help me. He's your ever special friend. He is that high tower, that deliverer, that one that makes His face to shine upon you. Oh, when the world don't care about you, but God cares about you. He puts a seal around you. He puts a tower around you. He takes physically, give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. It says in Hebrews, are not they ministering spirits, angels, ministering spirit, ministered for the saints? If you're a saint of God, God's going to take care of you. He'll help you take a super carried out and you don't see it, you're there. I've been waiting for that because I've been looking for it. I think sometimes I have the translator. It's quite I didn't know where I was at and I went to another point. That's all I remember. But God will not suffer the righteous to be forsaken. Neither seed begging for bread. We don't have to get there on bread like the world. Your bread comes from Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He's the oncoming King. If I was like I would in normal, I'd be shaking. Can't walk. Going into a place, you got to walk to make it. They won't take you there. I'm still walking there. God makes you go up to test, but He's going to go with you. Satan's going to come up to you. You can't go. And I said, well, I'm going anyway. And God says, yeah, because you said you're going, you're going to go. These people say, they hold their mouth out. I don't know about this. I'm worried. Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down to green grass and wither as the earth. But trust in the Lord, do good, and so shall thou dwell in the land. Hallelujah. Come a sheen of oak. But God is that strength, that witness that comes from Him. See, He puts His witness on the brethren. The ladies too, the power of God. He puts His witness on you. And nobody better touch you because you're God's property. But when you get out here and live shadily and having that you don't have it no longer. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be a father unto him, and we shall be his people. What agreement hath the temple of God with thine? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with you. I will walk with you. I'll be your God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What a blessing! But God's all-seeing eye is for the righteous. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He said he'll make his face to shine upon you. Lift up his countenance in heavenly places. Be ye followers of God and dear children. Now unto him is able to keep you from falling. Present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. That's what we've got to do. Now unto him is able to exceedingly abundantly ask or think according to the power that works within us. That's the mighty God that we have. Almighty God, he's rich. He's powerful. And except those days be shortened. Very elect cannot be saved. I turn right to him. The Spirit of God's here. Come with you. He's here. Archibald. Glory. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. What the anointing is God's approval. That's what it is. Natural church doesn't have it. I learned a long time ago, years ago, when I was learning, if I'd say what God said in Hebrew, $4,000 made over, I wouldn't gamble either. The man I was with, God wanted a blessing. Let him show how powerful he was. And 5-10 seconds, all auctioneers pointed to me. I said, yes. He made Buku's money. Because I told him to get that other scraper. He bought him for a song and sold him on for like they was way up there, you know. Ezekiel's where I wanted to get for right now. Ezekiel talks about the last days for Israel. And I believe we're at that day. We're really reasonable close. Because the elements around us, about us, are all against Israel. But God's going to supersede. He's going to do just like I told you. God's going to take care of his kids. And they're going to take care of his kids there. And we parallel with that. The church parallels for what he's going to do for his children in Israel. At the same time, the church of God's going to come up against a lot of opposition. A lot of criticism. Oh, you don't know nothing. It's a purpose-driven life or something like that. But it's God's life. It's not anybody else. See, man wants to have a name. God wants his name. It's all about God. God wants his name in his spirit. Bible plainly says, in the last days you must worship his spirit and truth. It's very easy. You don't need an interpretation on that. It's very clear. And these men bothers me is when they come out and say they know all about the Bible and they sell Bibles out for the illiterate to read it. What they're reading is their idea. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lets you know what you're reading, and he changes that for you. As time goes on, it keeps changing. You get a different. Holy Ghost is a better teacher than what you can be taught with someone putting their all the notes down. So I truly believe that the stage work is open up and ready for chapter 11, the end, right down the time. And God's going to come back through the clouds of glory. He's going to fight for Israel. And Israel's going to be as a new people for God. Because they're going to accept Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. But yet we had an advantage. It's in Romans. Michael, would you look that up? Where it talks about that in the last days that Israel's going to... It talks about them being if he didn't take care of Israel, how much more he's going to come against us in Romans. You'll find it in that 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. It's how much more we know that God can cut us off too. Because he cut off Israel, he can cut us off. We haven't got it made. We get that having it made in our heart that we just do, we live sloppy. God wants to live above any way that we can ask. Read that.
This is Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. Amen. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee.
Praise God. God not spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest we be destroyed too. Thank you. That's the scripture that I want to conclude this night. If God made Israel go through a lot of hardness and troublesome times, I think he's going to do the same for us. In America, I think it's going to have something happen. I probably won't see it, but there's going to be a day happening when it's going to be hard here in America. That time will be just before the Antichrist, but I think it's right. We're right in order for right now. So it's right around the corner, and nothing's going to stop it. You just be ready for God. That's the answer. Just be ready. Just love him, and you know you're on your way. Not this world anymore, but you're coming out of this world and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. We got to do that to make it. God bless you all. I pray that God will bless you. Oh, that you'll be that saved wretch that takes heed to things you heard. Praise God. Think about those things that are good. Bible says, think about the things you heard. Think of the things that are good instead of thinking about the old things that's gets the powers of darkness, gets from the things of darkness. We need to be saved, ready, and prayed up this day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, amen.
Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for being with us in the living room. Praise the Lord.